You're listening to Boss Ladies and Babies. Are you ready to blab with me? Grab a front row seat as I adventure through motherhood, build my career, and not lose my shit. This podcast is a place for women to come together and relate through the highs and lows of business and motherhood, keep it real, and learn some new business tips and tricks while inspiring each other to do the dang thing. So close your eyes and take a deep breath, mama. You found us. It might not always be pretty, but you can count on one thing. We are in this hot mess together. Welcome back to Boss Ladies and Babies. I am so excited for this week's episode because we are going to be talking about spring cleaning. Now, we've been talking about spring cleaning our businesses and our systems and our finances. And if you have been following along with our Spring Clean Your Business Challenge, you probably have a really good grasp on cleaning up your business and making your systems work really smooth. I like to say, take your business from a digital disaster to so fresh and so clean. So I hope your business is feeling nice and tidy. But in this episode, we're going to be focusing more on spring cleaning your physical space and actually how to declutter your space and organize your home without it just being like this marathon of a spring cleaning nonstop, driving yourself into the ground. So our guest for this week is an amazing expert, and I am super excited for you to hear everything that we have to chat about. So before we get into it, I'm going to kick us off with my highs and lows really quickly, mental health check-in, and then we will be moving right along. So my high for this week, as some of you may have seen, I've made a pretty big pivot in my messaging for everything that I'm offering in my business. My offers are still the same. I've just been working really hard on cleaning up my messaging and working hard to get my content a little bit more pointed down to the exact right people that I'm trying to speak to, which if you've done this yourself, you know that it can be a little bit of an overwhelming task, but I've been getting a ton of really, really great feedback, people telling me how much they love my content, how it's resonating with them, and just so much positive feedback that it's making me feel like, okay, I'm doing the right thing here. I need to keep going with this because it's working. And it also feels really aligned and really good for me. So that has been definitely my high for the week. My low for this week, to be honest, and it's a little bit ironic with the topic that we've been talking about on the podcast this month, but I am dealing with some serious money mindset issues. I am in a major block right now, and I am following all of my own advice to get through it. I've been taking some extra trainings on money mindset. I actually am working with a mentor, and we both decided that a great step for us would be to read the You Are a Badass at Making Money book. So I will be reading that here pretty quickly and just trying to turn the beat around with my mindset. So as much as I'm talking about it this month on the podcast, I am also struggling with it. So if you are too, just know you're not alone and we can follow my advice together because it's not always perfect, but it's definitely a work in progress. So those are my highs and lows. For my mental health check-in, I'm actually feeling really, really great this week. It's been sunny here in the Pacific Northwest. Things have been going really great, just kind of all around, aside from the money mindset blocks. But I've just been having some pretty good days. And so I think a lot of it has to do with, and I actually don't know if I shared this with any of you guys yet, but my husband and I are doing like our own version of the 75 hard challenge. I don't want to call it the 75 soft because that just sounds like not that much of a challenge, but it's just our own version. So with the 75 hard, you're supposed to work out 2 times a day, one of those workouts be outside, drink a gallon of water every day, follow a diet, read 10 pages of a personal development book. And I think that might be all of the things. So our version of it, because life is really busy and I'm trying to honor the season of life that I'm in. And I know that 2 workouts with one of them being outside is not very realistic for me right now. Our version looks like this: 1 workout a day, 1 gallon of water a day, 10 pages of a personal development book. We are following just kind of like a loose diet where we're just staying away from processed foods and sugar and just making better choices in general, and then no snacks past 8 p.m. And it's been, oh my gosh, at the time that I'm recording this, it has been over a month now that we've been sticking to it. And it just feels really good to actually be sticking to something that you said you're going to every single day. So I think that is a big part of where my mental health is. So all of that being said, a roundabout way for my check-in, I honestly think I'm hanging out at about an 8 or a 9 for today. So that is pretty high for me right now, and I'm super excited about it. So I'm going to keep the good things coming. All right, let's get to the show. So today, our guest is a personal home organizer and a clutter coach. She's a mom of two, and in her business, she helps mamas unclutter their physical space to make room in their mental one. She knows firsthand the frustration, overwhelm, all of that that comes along with a cluttered home, and it was through her own decluttering journey that she was able to find herself and gain a clear understanding on how to help women. She works both virtually and in home with her clients to reduce the clutter and create personalized organizational systems. And let me tell you firsthand, not only is she amazing at what she does, but she is a gem of a human, a great person, and just has so, so much to offer all around. So please help me welcome to the show, right after we take a quick break, Eliza Martell. Spring has sprung, and our homes aren't the only places that need some tidying up this time of year. This is around the time of year where the excitement of our big New Year's resolution goals are starting to wear off, and some of our ideas may have some cobwebs hanging around that could use a little dusting. Clutter might be piling up here and there, and we might be feeling like we could use a little pep in our step and a little tweak to our systems to help pull us and our businesses out of the winter rut. Don't worry, I've got you. I created a free Spring Clean Your Business Challenge that will get your business from a digital disaster to so fresh and so clean in just 6 days. Even better, each task will only take you about an hour to complete. The challenge is self-paced and runs the entire month of April, so snag your spot at the link in the show notes and get ready to do some serious spring cleaning. Sometimes all we need is a little accountability and support, and this 6-day challenge was created centered around both of those things. Joining the challenge gets you into a private Facebook group with the other members of the challenge to share your wins, ask your questions, and make some new connections. At the end of the month, all attendees are invited to a Zoom party to meet face-to-face, celebrate our successes, and a chance for you to ask me all of your business questions, not just about spring cleaning, about business in general. So what are you waiting for? It's time to make your business sparkle. Join the free 6-day Spring Clean Your Business Challenge at the link here in the show notes. It's time for this week's Boss Lady Business Spotlight. Meet Miranda Meow Maid. Miranda Meow Maid is owned by Miranda Koofs, a former elementary and special education teacher who currently shoulders several titles: mom, military spouse, and small business owner. Miranda is a designer, maker, and paint party teacher. She only sells items that she has designed from scratch, working with vinyl, wood, acrylic, and more. She loves helping customers bring their ideas to fruition and is always open for commissions. She's passionate about facilitating paint parties as it combines her love of art and teaching. She teaches private paint parties for 5 to 10 people and can bring the whole experience to you. Did I mention she likes cats? Mention Boss Ladies and Babies when booking a private paint party, and Miranda will waive the $20 booking and travel fee. That's Miranda Meow Maid. Hello, Eliza, and welcome to the Boss Ladies and Babies podcast.
Oh, thank you so much to have me. I'm so excited to chat today.
Oh my gosh, I am so excited to have you on the show. We recently connected and I've been loving following along with you. And I was telling you a little bit before we started recording how much I love your content, because
it just is so real and it's so relatable, which I love. That's my jam for sure. And I've just learned a lot from you already in such a short time of following you. So I am really excited to chat with you today and share all of your amazingness with our listeners and get to know you more. And so let's go ahead and dive in. I'd love for you to introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do, and what makes you a boss lady.
Oh, well, again, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad we've connected. I've been loving your private podcast on simple time management. We'll talk about it more, but I've definitely cleared up my schedule to have more time. So to be able to productively use it is like so awesome.
But I love that.
But I'm Liza Martell. I am a professional home organizer. I'm a mom to two wonderful kids, and I'm a decluttering coach. I have a 7-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son. Before I started my business, I was a full-time stay-at-home mom. And before that, I was kind of whatever job I could get, because I always had this idea, like, my career path is to be a stay-at-home mom. Like, I talked about it with my husband before we got married. That was my jam. Mm-hmm. And it worked out well, because those other jobs I talked about, I never really stuck with them. Looking back now, I'm like, oh, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm not meant to have a boss, but which I feel like a lot of women can relate to. And also the stay-at-home mom stuff didn't work out quite as I expected, which was a little bit of a letdown. But it's okay, because I went on this decluttering journey like 4 years ago, and I was able to make more time and energy and have more focus on what I wanted. So I started my own business, and now I'm here helping other women, other moms, declutter their physical space to make room for their mental one.
I love it. I love what you do. And I love what you just said about the kind of letdown that a lot of us experience when we have this dream of being a stay-at-home mom. And then we realize, wait, this isn't all it's cracked up to be. And we think before we're in that stay-at-home mom space, I think, at least for me, like, I thought that that was going to fill my purpose 100%, because obviously having kids, like, that is such a huge, huge accomplishment to mold these tiny little humans into what they're going to be. And that does fill a lot of purpose for us. But when you have that entrepreneurial mindset, whether you realize it or not, you're always going to have this inkling for even more fulfillment. And I think that so many of us are faced with that same kind of disappointing realization that, wait, like, I love being home with my kids and I don't want to give that up, but there's still something else that I'm really needing and craving. And that can feel so scary and overwhelming.
You're like 100% right. I think I had this idealism of what being a stay-at-home mom was, like, picture June Cleaver, like in pearls, vacuuming, yes, and like everything's wonderful. And then modern day stay-at-home mom life without having family close by is so very different.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And so I love that you're so transparent about that, and that it seemed to spark this amazing thing that you're doing now, where you're able to be home with your kids and help other moms be able to declutter their space, which so many of us need help with. Personally, I'm one of them. I feel like I'm a pretty organized person, but that's still something that I definitely struggle with. So we're going to get into a lot more about what you do. But before we dive in, we do have a segment on our show just to kind of normalize the conversations about mental health. And so I love to invite all of my guests to rate their mental health on a scale of 1 to 10. So I would love to ask you, how are you feeling today?
Well, thank you for asking. Not often do people ask me how I'm doing today. Yeah. In fact, I've been listening to your podcast and I've heard the mental health segment, and it's been making me think, like, every day leading up to this, I'm like, well, where am I? What is my rate?
And I love that.
It's lovely. Thank you for doing that, making
thank
that opportunity.
You.
I would say right now I'm probably a 7, but I'm not going to lie. Like, this morning I was a 5 for sure. Getting the kids out the door, dealing with children. It was a moment, but I've had time to breathe and clear my mind and get some space. And I feel comfortable at a 7.
Nice. Yeah. And I think that that's something that often people share when we are talking about where their score is on the scale of 1 to 10, like, the day can start at a 5 and then it can go to a 7, and then it could go back down to like a 2, and then it can go up to a 9. It's just kind of like the roller coaster that is motherhood.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, I'm glad you're hanging at a seven, and I hope it only goes up from there for sure. But we'll see what happens throughout
We'll see what the day
the
holds.
day. Definitely. So you mentioned a little bit like what sparked you to get started in what you're doing. Have you always been into like organizing and tidying and things like that? Or was it out of pure necessity that you realized that decluttering your space will also help declutter your mind?
That's a wonderful question. So, and it's a little complicated. So, when I was much younger, I've always been super efficient, super organized. I was like obsessed with interior design. I was rearranging my room like crazy when I was little. And it was just something I thought was fun hobby. And then I became a mom, and somehow I forgot everything I knew. And I kind of just started living in this more reactive mindset. So I wasn't really setting myself up for success. I wasn't building systems. I wasn't planning things out. And I mean, it didn't happen like instantly. I had a child and it was gone. But being a stay-at-home mom with limited resources to help, it just other things became more important than staying organized. And then it was, oh, let's see, about 4 years ago now that we moved into where we're living. My husband had built our home right now while working full time, and I was live we all he was there too. We were all living with my in-laws. And I was like, okay, I need space. We need to get out of here. I have a 3-month-old. I was pregnant the whole time in somebody else's home, and I need space. And looking back, maybe I was a little premature, because when we moved in here, it was hard. There were still unfinished projects. There were tools we had to watch out for. Kids had to stay out of certain areas. I think my son was about 3 months old. My daughter was 3 years old. And I was living like this Groundhog Day of just constantly picking up the same stuff, tripping over the same stuff, cleaning the same areas. And it was just like every day the same thing. And I'm not sure what was just a moment of, I need to fix this. I'm ready for a change. And I jumped on my computer and I was just Googling something. And I came across Dawn from Minimal Mom. And her YouTube channel, like a game changer. She's a minimalist, which I had heard of minimalism before. And I was like, that's not for me. I like stuff. I like having belongings. I'm not going to be a minimalist. But she put it in such a way that connected with me, in that it's not about not having stuff. It's about having less inventory in our homes to manage. Because as moms, we are managing all the inventory. We are the ones that know we need to go buy another jar of mustard. We are the ones that know exactly where that specific toy is, inside a closet, in a bin, on the left side, under the stuffed animal. We just carry it all in our head. And the less things that we have to take care of, the less inventory we have, the easier it is to manage, the easier it is to clean, the easier it is to pick up. And it was like, I was like, yes, sign me up for this. I want less. I want life to be easier. And I just started getting rid of things. I was finding it that there was less things I had to pick up off the surfaces, whether it was a table or the ground. Things were kind of like naturally finding their own homes and where they belong. And as it was easier to keep things clean, I had less to think about, less to worry about, and I had more time to plan ahead. And kind of start stepping out of that reactive mode that we're in when we're in like the survival mode as mom. And as that was happening, I was feeling better, I was feeling good, but there was still like something missing. And my brother-in-law actually was putting his house on the market, and it did really, really bad. Like it was not selling.
Oh
It was the
no.
very beginning of 2020, and I was like, you know what? I had a really good like feedback when we staged our house and sold it originally. Well, let me help you. So it was like, I remember painting the walls and hearing about this thing called COVID. And
Yes.
we're like, are we going to be affected? Like, can we still paint? So we just kept going, and his house sold in a week. And it really started me to be like, you know what? I'm doing a business. I'm going to do Stage by Eliza. I'm going to stage homes. And I was staging homes. I mainly stuck with friends and family. And then COVID hit, and it hit hard. And I was kind of forced back in the house with the kids. And I transitioned to designing spaces for people. And it was finding that as I was helping with designs, there was this hiccup. There was this foundation missing. It was a lot of DIY stuff. So I would give you a design and you execute it. But they're like, oh, once I have less stuff, or once I figure out how to want to organize this stuff. And I'm like, well, I had all the stuff I decluttered and I'm really good at organizing. Like, I can help you. And it's now, how many years later? Like 3 years later, I just had my 3rd year anniversary, and
Yay, congrats.
I'm doing what freed me to help free other people.
Wow. That's amazing. The journey just seemed so natural too, and it seems like it's just filling such a need, and it was at just the perfect time because everybody was home and they were realizing maybe that they were living in this reactive state that they might not have realized before because, of course, COVID caused everybody to slow down and to quiet all the noise. And then, the messy noise in your house probably got a lot bigger for so many people who weren't maybe used to being home all the time, or even if they were, go, 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 that they weren't forced to sit in their mess and really realize, what had been happening in their lives. And so I feel like the way that that unfolded is so beautiful, and it just seemed like just perfect timing. And I hear so many stories of just amazing things coming out of COVID, and I definitely feel like your story is really beautiful and inspiring.
Oh, I thank you. You know, I love how you called it messy noise, because when I talk about decluttering, I often, especially to moms, I like to talk about how our belongings are sending messages to us. They're like talking to us in a sense of like that pile of paperwork is like, hey, pick me up, put me away. Like, haven't you dealt with me yet? As the same as like that ugly gift that you got from Aunt Susie, where you're like, ugh, every time I look at it, it just makes me feel awful and I can't get rid of it. Because then Aunt Susie will be mad at me. And it's all this inventory that does talk to you, that sends you these messages. And as you can let go of those things, of course, like the sentimental and guilty stuff is harder, but like as you can let go of those things, you're quieting your inventory and you're letting yourself hear yourself. So I loved how you called it messy noise.
Yeah, that's definitely how I feel. Like, I have severe anxiety. I talk about it all the time on the show, but when my space is more chaotic, it feels like it's messy noise to me, and I definitely notice a difference in my mental health when my space is like that. But it's also taken me time to get to the point where I realize that that does affect my mental health, and I feel like so many of us just sit in that and we don't realize because it's like, oh, I can't deal with that. Oh, I'll deal with that later. Or like you said, I can't get rid of that. And we don't even realize the impact that our space is having on us. And so I love how you're talking about it as like minimizing your inventory. I feel like that feels a lot less emotional than like minimizing, or like you're saying, I like stuff, I don't want to get rid of my stuff. Like minimizing your inventory removes that emotional piece, at least for me, when you're talking about it that way, to say, like, coming from the organized side of your brain, like the house manager side of your brain, I have all of this inventory, and if I just cut some of this, then it will be easier for me to keep track of all this inventory. I feel like that is such a, what's the word I'm looking for? It just puts it in a way that makes it click, I feel like, for moms in general. I feel like that's just such a great way to make it click. When we're talking about home organization, and I mean, this is such a big topic, and I feel like we could just dive into this for literally hours, but neither one of us have the time to do that with kids at home. And those of you listening don't have the time to listen to, a 4 hour long podcast. So we're going to try to cover as much as we can without, going too far in. But the idea of home organization, I feel like it's become so trendy. Like, of course, the Marie Kondo and then the home edit. And every time I get on TikTok on my For You page, there's tons of videos of people organizing with all of these trendy tools. And it makes you feel like you have to spend a ton of money or have like the most beautiful home in order to make it worth it to organize, or to be able to create these beautiful like Pinterest perfect spaces. And you can kind of start to feel like, well, what's the point? Like my closet's never going to look like that, and I can't afford to buy all of these acrylic bins to make it look that way, so why should I even organize it, right? Can you speak a little bit on this? Because I feel like social media makes it so easy to compare and feel bad about our spaces before we even give ourselves the chance to get started on organizing them.
Oh my God, yes. I'm like, speak to me, you're speaking my language. So I have like this love-hate relationship with that Instagram worthy and that Pinterest perfect, because my it is like eye candy to me. I love looking at it so much. But I also hate it because of the message that it's sending. It's those pictures are staged photos. And like from being a home stager, I can tell you that we take things out of the home so that that area looks better. When they take those pictures, they are removing things from that scene to make it look calming and tranquil. And they're all minimalist looking spaces for the most part. So it's a trick. And it's not fair to normal people to look at this. And like you were saying, to get that discouragement, like, well, I can't ever do this, so why should I bother trying? Or to see those acrylic bins, which I remember the first time I looked at the price of one of those suckers, I was like, are you kidding me?
Yes, they're
And they've
so
only gone up
expensive.
since COVID.
Yes.
They have like they realize how valuable they are, and they have increased that price. But what I like to focus on is both first and foremost is working on the decluttering, working on the less stuff to have in your home, because that's how they're getting the look. They only have minimal things in there. It's kind of under functioning on those beautiful pictures. But the less things you have, honestly, the less you have to organize and the less work it is. And then when I start off people organizing, I really like to explain that this is trial and error. Now, I have a bunch of systems, and I use a particular philosophy called the Clutterbug philosophy, which is different organizing styles. And I can make your style personal to you so that you can maintain the space more easily. But we're going to start with like dollar store bins. We're going to start with like cardboard boxes to make sure like this is going to work in the space. Now, I can definitely outsource those container store stuff. I can find things on Amazon and Target that are beautiful and wonderful, but you don't have to start there. Because as you're going through decluttering, it's a muscle that you're building. It's a skill that you're developing. So you're not going to be able to necessarily see all the things you don't need right away. But as you get better and better at it, and you come around the second time and look at things, you're like, okay, I actually don't need this thing that I thought I did. So maybe you don't need a container there at all. Maybe it's just going to be one item on the shelf, not a basket full of random trinkets, you know?
I like that a lot. I remember one day I was like deep in the depths of TikTok for you page organization, like ASMR, stock my fridge, and all of this.
Yeah.
And I mean, I needed to have these bins in my pantry or in my refrigerator, these clear bins in my refrigerator. I had to have them. And I was obsessing about it because if I just had these clear bins in my refrigerator, it would make my whole life feel better. And I can't tell you how many times I added these bins into my Amazon cart, sticker shocked, and saying, okay, I'm going to think about it and I'll come back. And I would remove them. And then I would start to feel down again. Like, if I could just get these in my refrigerator and make my refrigerator beautiful, everything would be better. And I never bought them because I realized, like, that's not what's going to make my life better. But it's putting out this message out there that we need these things in order to have a better lifestyle, right? And so I'm like
Yeah.
backtracking a little bit to the beginning of what you're saying here, but I think that that just sets people up for, you know, I need to buy more, I need to have more, I need to purchase more of these things in order to create these systems in my home, which is the opposite from what you're saying of what we actually really need to do, which is minimize. And so the way that you're speaking of, you know, you trial it out first with a cardboard box or, you know, with this dollar store bin and make sure that it even works for you is so freeing because what we're seeing in these beautiful staged photos, those things might not even work for our lifestyle. And then we just waste all this time and energy and money trying to recreate this for it to just sit there and be another thing that clutters up our house.
Yes, exactly. I totally agree with you. And
Yeah.
I'm so glad you didn't buy those bins,
I
unless like
know.
there is a time and a place for having those bins, and sometimes they're great. But there's so many people I know that are like, I got them for my fridge, and then everything just still went bad. And it's like, well, it wasn't the storage that was stopping you from eating your vegetables. That was you.
Right. Yeah, organizing your fridge or your pantry isn't going to completely fix your life. So I feel like that is so helpful to think of, okay, let's try this out. Let's see what's actually going to work for our family. Like, how many kids do we have? Like, what does our flow look like? Where do things pile up? Where do we actually need to get rid of stuff? And just kind of make a plan based on your real life, which I feel like sounds so obvious when we're saying it out loud, but is not obvious at all. So I'm curious, because for me, I kind of have like this all or nothing type mentality when it comes to organization in my home. Like, I want to spend a whole weekend like spring cleaning my house. I want to do it all in one weekend. And then I end up getting either too overwhelmed or it becomes too much and I burn myself out. And then whatever I did either isn't completed or isn't sustainable. So I'm curious if it's kind of common for people to have that sort of all or nothing mentality when it comes to organizing their homes.
I feel like it happens a lot, a lot to moms particularly, because it's kind of like that. I can't remember exactly what they call it, but it's like angry cleaning. Like, you get to this point where you're like, I'm not living like this anymore. And you rage clean. That's what they call it.
Yes,
it's like rage purging. And you'll go through and you'll get rid of stuff and you'll tidy it and then it won't last. And what happens is you start to like beat yourself up on it. You're like, I didn't do a good job. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't keep this place organized. And there's like a couple different factors going on there. The first one is that organization and decluttering has maintenance. So you will never be done with your organizing. You'll never be done with your decluttering. It will be quicker. It'll be a lot easier for you to do, minimal effort, but it like continues to need your attention. And the other thing that's happening there is we don't always need the exact same organizing for our entire life. We, especially moms listening to this podcast, like our kids are growing and are developing. They constantly need their things to be adjusted. Whether you have a baby who is now growing out of their 3 month clothes and into 9 month clothes before they even hit the 6 month clothes.
Yes.
Maybe they're,
like,
which
how
happened
do you
to
know?
My sister, like instant growth of a baby. Yeah, our kids are growing and developing and they're developing skills and they can put things away. And we have to keep that in mind. Like, even when our kids get older, there are life events that happen. Maybe our kids all of a sudden are like in high school, or maybe we have an ailing parent, or maybe like something like a divorce is going on. And things at that moment, these big life changes are good times to look at like, well, let's see, like, do we still need all of the things that we have? Do these still all matter to us? Is it still really accessible to us? Do we need other things accessible to us? So a lot of people think like, I'll do it in a sprint. I'll get this over with and it'll be done forever. And the truth is, it's a journey. It's something that we have to take one step at a time and we have to adjust as we go.
Yeah, that is so helpful, because I do feel like somewhere there's the message of, you organize it one time and then it stays organized. And then when it doesn't, you feel like a failure. Like, I don't think enough people are talking about the fact that it is going to take maintenance. And that statement alone, I feel like is so freeing. Like, you aren't failing if you organize it one time and then it doesn't work. And the idea of just taking that inventory, you know, maybe even several times throughout the year to see what's happening. Like, I can completely relate to the baby going from 3 month to 9 month clothing. And I'm just like drowning in clothes and trying to figure out what the heck to do with all of this stuff. And it's like, every time I feel like I have a system figured out, it's changing. And so I feel like that is so freeing to just say, like, just because you do it one time doesn't mean that it is going to stay that way and it's going to keep working. And I just love that you talk about this as a journey and not just like a one-time solution.
Yeah. So, and the baby clothes can be so like, mad respect to you, because baby clothes is hard. Especially for like, if it's your first kid and you're like, am I going to have another one? Or if you're on your third kid and you're like, I'm done, but what if I accidentally have another one? Like, should I get rid of it all? Should I keep some things? So it's not like every time you have a kid and you have the clothes, you know exactly what to do. Like, it always takes some sort of mental bandwidth to expand on.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. When with our daughter, I swore, I knew in my core of who I am as a mother that I was having another girl. And so I saved every single thing of hers. 4 years. My kids are 4 years apart. So literally held on to it for years. And I found out I was having a boy and I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? I have all of these clothes that I have such a sentimental attachment to that I can't keep. I mean, it ended up being like 11 full garbage bags of clothes and I couldn't keep it and I couldn't reuse it because I had a boy. And that was really hard for me because I held on to it. And now with our boy, we know we're not having any other children. And so it's like a completely different experience for me to actually try to purge this stuff out instead mm-hmm. of holding on to it, because it's so much harder to let it go when you hold mm-hmm. on to it for so long. And so I'm kind of curious too, like, since we are all moms listening to the show, with the sentimental stuff, do you have any tips on how to let go of some of these sentimental items when we are trying to minimize our inventory?
Oh, sentimental. We're going in the deep stuff. So mm-hmm. I always recommend start with the easy ones. So like trash.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But okay. If we're doing sentimental, specifically baby clothes, there's some mindset things that we can discuss. So like first would be, are you planning on having another child? And if you're like, no, usually that makes it a little bit easier. And then to give yourself, if you are, be like, all right, how much space do I have in my home to keep my sentimental stuff? Is it one bin worth? So Dana K. White has what's called the container method. And what you do is you choose the size of your container. Now, this can be a whole arrangement of things like a shelf, a closet, multiple bins, but you choose the amount you're willing to hold in your home. And then you just start filling it with your favorites. And when that's full, it's full. Now, if you still have stuff outside of the bin or a container that you love more than what's in there, you swap out one for one and you let the container be the bad guy. And they kind of put that limit for you. I talked with a mom recently who was going through her baby stuff, and she had always dreamed of having another child, but it wasn't necessarily looking that way for them. And she was really worried that if she got rid of the stuff and they did end up having another baby, that she would be without. She had a scarcity mindset. So we paused and we thought like, okay, if you were to have another baby, how many items would you need? And if it turned out that wasn't enough, would you be able to get more? Do you have friends that have babies? Can we go to the thrift store? Can we afford to buy new baby clothes? And going through those questions of like, okay, what if I need this and I don't have it? How do I deal with that? Was really helpful to her. And to understand like, okay, if I just keep my favorites, but that's still not enough, there is more out there. There is more that I can get. And then I do have one more for sentimental, which is not for everybody. But in some cases, I find some moms like to do the onesie teddy bear or a onesie quilt, where you send it off to someone who sew, or maybe you sew. I don't sew. So send it out to someone with your favorites and they make an item so that you can continue to use it or put it on display. Because I'm a huge advocate for, if you have things that are close to your heart and you really value, they shouldn't be tucked away in a box somewhere. They should be out to be seen and to be enjoyed. Just like I was talking earlier with Aunt Susie's ugly vase that we don't want to look at. Like when we look at things, we want them to be the stuff that makes us just fill with joy.
Yeah, I love that idea. I've never heard of that. That's awesome. I didn't realize that there were people that could create those. I really like how, and I feel like this could like go down a whole nother like episode around organization, but like from the mindset piece, I like how you were diving in with that mom about the scarcity mindset. And I feel like for so many of us who are holding on to so many things, like not even just the sentimental stuff, but just like stuff in our houses, it could be coming from that scarcity mindset or some kind of mindset shift that needs to be made. And I think it's really powerful that even like decluttering your home and organizing your home falls back to a mindset piece. So much of what I teach in growing your business starts with that mindset piece. And so it's just, mindset is so powerful. And it's really cool that even with something that seems, you know, like materialistic about, you know, cleaning up your home, like that still goes back to a mindset piece. And there's a lot of work that you can do, like personal development work you can do to be able to change your experience with your home.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
So if someone was wanting to get started on organizing their home and, you know, they're feeling overwhelmed, they're feeling all of these things that we've kind of been touching throughout this episode, where is like the first place they can get started? And then maybe a couple tips on what they can do to make that sustainable for them.
All right. So a lot of people like to ask, like, well, where do I start? Where's the best place to start? And I always like to point out, like, well, don't start with the sentimental stuff. Mm-hmm. Don't start in a closet, like a storage closet, because that's usually where our sentimental stuff hides. Mm-hmm. What I do when I work one-on-one with clients is we think about our space, our home, whether it's an apartment or a house. And we think about, like, well, where's our biggest hurdles in the day? Where do I have the toughest spot? Is it picking out my wardrobe? Is it getting ready in the morning? Is it getting the kids out the door by the mudroom? And then that's where I recommend is the first place you do that most troublesome spot in just your day-to-day life. And I don't necessarily recommend any particular amount of time to spend on it. But what I do recommend is that you chunk down that space. So let's say it is the mudroom. We're going to pretend they have a really nice mudroom. And we're going to make a little list of all the spaces in the mudroom. So we're going to say like the bench, the floor, the shoes, the table. And when we decide how much time we have available to work on the space, whether it's just 15 minutes once a week, or maybe it's like a 3-hour chunk on the weekend, you go through that chunk down list and you just do one area at a time and you just start off decluttering. You always declutter before you organize. Yeah, so that's where I would start. And that would be like my biggest tip. Any questions come up from that you want me to dive deeper in? I'd be happy to expand more.
No, I think that that makes it so digestible. Like you just pick the space that's causing you problems and then you break it down into a smaller list and start there. I feel like that just makes it so much less overwhelming, you know, especially when we're heading into that time where everybody's wanting to spring clean and we definitely tend to start in the closets. Like, let's shift that this year when we're spring cleaning and let's pick that one space and start there. I love that. I think that's super, super digestible.
I usually look for triggers. If I find that a space is not easily flowing anymore, that's when I need to rethink, like, does this organization system work that I've used? Is there anything that I decluttered? So let's say it's your junk drawer in the kitchen, like you've done the kitchen and all of a sudden, like, you can't close your junk drawer anymore. And it's becoming a hurdle. It's becoming a pain in the butt every day. So that's usually like my trigger to be like, okay, this needs a little attention right now. And I'll just do like 5 minutes to just tidy up that one spot that was causing me grief. And that's how I do my maintenance in my own home.
I love it. Oh my gosh. I'm feeling very motivated and the sun is actually shining right now in the Pacific Northwest while we're having this conversation. I'm feeling so motivated when we get off this call to go and figure out where I'm going to get started with this, because this just, it sounds so simple to be able to get started. It doesn't sound like this daunting task of, you know, taking up a whole weekend anymore. And so I love how you've kind of explained this and broken it down, and I'm super inspired to go get started.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
The sun is shining over here on the East Coast. I'm like, yes, you go.
I know, right? Something about that sunshine. I feel like that's why everybody wants to, you know, declutter and organize in the spring, because the sun's finally shining and it's like, I want to be able to breathe.
Yes.
So I want to shift gears a little bit here and dive into our hot mess moment, because this is one of my favorite parts of the show. And we're talking so much about cleaning up and being tidy, but life isn't always like that. Things definitely can get messy. And so I feel like this is a great time to invite you to share a moment where you have been a total hot mess.
I enjoy this segment on your podcast. I'm listening to all the other guests and I'm like, you guys are hilarious. I am not hilarious. When I'm a hot mess, it's disturbing to me. So I've been trying to think, like, all right, when have I been a hot mess? And honestly, this morning was probably the most relevant one that I can think of. So, little backstory. My four-year-old went to McDonald's with his grandmother yesterday, chugged a chocolate milk, and then did one of them playscape things. Then they went to a store and he threw up for the first time ever.
Oh, no.
So actually that would be a hot mess moment for her, but the story is today. So ever since that, he's completely paranoid that he is going to throw up again. And I don't blame him. Like, throwing up is a scary thing, especially like he has never actually done it before. So this morning I have only certain sections of my day where I actually get to work and my kids are at school or with childcare. And I just had a panicky moment this morning. My daughter came down to get ready. My son, I'm trying to figure out, like, are you sick or do you just think you're going to throw up? Because we're still trying to figure out how his body is and where he's feeling with that. So my hot mess was just kind of starting to panic over the fact of, like, am I losing my time? Because for the entire month of February, I literally lost 50% of my work time due to kids being sick, childcare being sick, and my husband traveling. So I now have an angst about my time being taken away from me. And my daughter was actually like, Mom, I think you need to do some breathing. And at that moment, I was like, okay, I'm going to go take a shower. Thank you, my little child. I will go relax. And it did help a lot. And then I jumped on Instagram, you know, just to numb a little bit. And I happened to come across this reel about tapping. And I've seen it before. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try it. So I was just randomly following this reel on tapping certain acupuncture points on my body. And it honestly was super helpful.
Really?
So the universe really helped me out there. I'm going to be Googling that more later in some of my free time.
That.
My child could tell I was a hot mess and instructed me to take care of that immediately.
When that happens, is it like, do we love that for us or do we hate that? Because it's like,
yeah,
you're
I know.
The kid. Like, you're the kid. But I mean, but also thank you, because you're emotionally intelligent enough, thanks to my parenting, to pull me out of this moment.
That is exactly what happens anytime they're like, Mom, we need to breathe. And I was like, fine.
Yep.
You are correct.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I feel like that moment of feeling like you're losing your time when you don't have that much time anyway. And when you love what you're doing and you want to get the things done, that can send you into a full-on spiral. I mean, I feel like that happens to me on a regular basis when there are circumstances where it feels like the time is always being taken by things outside of our control. And I feel like that is so relatable. And thank you for sharing about that and the tapping thing. We're going to have to check that out because that sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I have a friend who does self-care and yoga and breathing, and she's been helping me with breath work. And it's nice, and I'm not the best at meditating. I'm kind of a high energy type of person. So I almost get frustrated when I have to like slow down and breathe. So this tapping thing is like kind of, it almost feels like someone's shaking you in a very loving way to be like, wake up, you're okay, snap out of it. So the tapping thing, I think, is going to be really helpful.
Ooh, yeah, you're speaking my language. Like meditation, breathing, yoga, they're all just like, what's next? What's next? I can't sit through this. So the tapping thing sounds awesome. So yeah, we'll have to follow back up on how that's going. And thank you for sharing that. All right. Well, we are out of time. So unfortunately, we are going to have to wrap up this conversation. Please, please, please tell people where they can connect with you, where they can find you, how they can support your business, how they can work with you, because I feel like we just scratched the surface of what you have to offer. And so I would love to hear what you have going on, what's coming up next, and where we can connect with you.
Yay. Okay. Well, I would love to help any mom out there. I hang out a lot on Instagram. So I'm at eliza.uncluttered. That's where I do stories almost daily just to talk about mom life and to bring that into conversation. I work one-on-one with clients, both virtually and in-home. The in-home is specifically to Eastern Connecticut,
okay.
Very local to me, but I work virtually with everyone all across the United States. You can find out more about that at elizauncluttered.com. And right now I'm just doing the one-on-one coaching, but later this year I will be coming out with a decluttering course. for a very affordable price to help moms who need to kind of do it on their own pace at their own budget.
Amazing. Oh my gosh. Yes. And her stories, you guys, are awesome. Like, I feel so inspired watching her stories because she keeps it real. And you know, we love that around here. And so she is a great follow. She has so many great tips and it's just fun. You're just fun to hang out with on Instagram.
Oh,
so
thank you.
Sure, you give her a follow. Thank you so much for joining today and sharing your expertise and giving us all these incredible tips to get started and just chatting today. It was such a great conversation. So thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure. Hopefully I'll come back and we'll dive even deeper.
Heck yeah, I can't wait. And until next time, you've got this, mamas. Stay bossy.
I love this podcast so much, and I am so excited that we are on season 5 of the Boss Ladies and Babies podcast. Some of you have been with me since the beginning. Some of you might be new listeners, but either way, I am so thankful for this space and this community and for you following along on my journey. Also, I'm so thankful that you inspire me every single day just by being here. I love connecting with and supporting other moms who are growing their businesses while raising their babies, and I couldn't do any of this without you. If you like this podcast, please, please, please leave me a quick review over on Apple Podcasts. I know you're a busy mom. I know you've got a lot to do. It won't take much. Just a quick emoji or a couple sentences is all we need to help get more eyes on this podcast, to connect with and inspire even more women, to grow our community together. I would be so thankful. Head on over to Apple Podcasts, leave that quick review, and let's keep this show growing. Thank you for listening to Boss Ladies and Babies. If you liked this episode, be sure to rate, review, and leave us some feedback. Make sure you follow us on social at Boss Ladies and Babies, join the conversation in our private Facebook group, and check out everything we have to offer like community, coaching, merch, and more at bossladiesandbabies.com. And until next time, stay bossy.